time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. It is Thursday morning and busy studio this morning as we have Gary Goodacre and Chris George both joining us in the studio today. Chris, it's so great not to have you on the phone line.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of having a Christmas break. You can just get up early and drive to Princeton.
And Gary, it's always great to have you back in the studio too.
It's a joy to be here. I'm glad that you asked me. I'm looking forward to wrapping up this year with what I believe will be the biggest show of the year, no doubt.
Yeah, it's the year-end show. It's the last show of 2022. And, you know, a whole nother year coming up next week and lots of sports things going on. We have a top five. And, Chris, this was kind of your idea, so I'm going to let you tell everybody why our top five is today.
Top five this week, folks, is going to be the top five places you'd like to see a game or venues you'd like to see a game. For us, like everything with us, we had to discuss the parameters of what like or liked means. Is it somewhere that is currently in existence or somewhere that no longer exists and you didn't get to see a game? So I think it's going to be interesting because we all have a different take on it.
Well, and I think ultimately we just decided that everybody could kind of have their own take, and whatever your top five is whatever your top five is. So, Gary?
I went with places that are no longer currently being used. So when you hear mine, there are clearly some places I'd love to go, but they're still available, so that's why I'm not using them.
So lots of things to talk about, and we'll let you wait on that top five a little while. Going to go ahead and get to a break on the show. We'll come back and have more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Today's society is dependent on electricity. The Princeton Electric Plant Board has what you demand for electricity anywhere, anytime, at the required level of quality. They work to ensure our community's power system has the resources in place for reliability today and into the future. Their work and commitment has reduced the frequency and duration of power outages with a reliability rate of 99.9%. Princeton Electric Plant Board, bringing our customers safe and reliable energy.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to Pro Shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice-Use Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice-Use in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
We believe you want to make wise financial decisions and live generously. At First Southern National Bank, we are making that even easier. Banking should be convenient for you and your schedule. With our new ITMs, a video teller is available to assist you with almost everything you could do inside a bank or at an ATM. You don't have to get out of your car, and the ITMs will offer extended hours, making it easier to deposit checks, withdraw cash, and more. Learn more about ITMs at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Good morning once again. This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We've got Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio. The band is back together, and for once, it seems like in a long time, it's been that we've all been in the same place. So some good discussion coming up. We want to start with the high school football realignment. We'll get some football talk in here. And of course, we don't know exactly what the realignment is going to look like just yet because the KHSAA is still debating on whom to allow to play up and not play up and those kind of things. But if you just look at the numbers, the new Class 2A First District would likely be Caldwell County, Mayfield, Murray, Fort Campbell, and Crittenden County. Ballard Memorial will go from 2A to 1A, so we say goodbye to the Bombers. But, Chris, if you look at that, a couple of those teams at least have been rumored, Crittenden County and Fort Campbell, folks are saying that they have requested to play up to 3A. So if that's the case, the First District will have an interesting look for sure come next year.
I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea on their part. If it were me, I would definitely be thinking about trying to play up to 3A. I think 3A is a potentially a gives you a little bit more opportunity to be competitive, especially with Tillman going up to 4A, and you got to think Union will come down a little bit and get away from Mayfield.
Now, I was going to say the elephant in the room, Gary, is get away from Mayfield.
Yes, but Crittenden, I think, is making an interesting choice because they, if they were allowed to play up into 3A, they would be joining Union, Trigg, and Webster in the junior pro league that they play in. So what they would be able to develop, Crittenden, is they would be able to develop, other than Caldwell, if Caldwell has not been rumored to move up, they would say, look, these are your rivals. These are the teams you're going to have to beat for district titles. And I think that would be something to help Crittenden because that's more natural to them than Mayfield and Murray and potentially Fort Campbell. They don't have a lot of natural rivalries with those schools. So if I were Crittenden, I definitely think they're making a logical move. As for Fort Campbell, I'm really not sure their motivations. Maybe they think that they're just trying to figure out a way to get closer travel because Mayfield is a pretty far haul and Murray is a pretty far haul for them.
Well, if you're looking at it from Fort Campbell's standpoint, you're not just going, oh, man, we're in the district with Mayfield. You're also thinking, oh, man, we're in the district with Murray, and, oh, man, we're in the district with Caldwell County. So they're kind of stuck no matter which way they look.
Yeah, I don't really know any insight toward Fort Campbell. I know that Fort Campbell has a hard time developing continuity with players. Every year they could be shipped anywhere, somebody shipped in, and that's difficult because you're trying to develop, usually try to develop a quarterback and then a JV quarterback, and you just don't know if you're going to keep them. What kind of an offense can you run? It has to be fairly simplistic so that when your talent comes in, they can be assimilated very quickly. So I really don't know what Fort Campbell's trying to do. They always seem to have athletic players due to having, you know, military backgrounds and emphasizing that is part of their family structure. But other than that, they really just haven't seemed to have much going for them in athletics compared to what they had been in the past when they had two runs where they won like three out of four state titles, one in the 2000s and one like in the 70s or 80s. So there's tradition, but it comes in chunks.
But how much of that is their better players now are going to the Clarksville schools and not staying on base?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other factor, is that you're going to lose to the Clarksville schools. So I think maybe they're just looking at it pragmatically from maybe we just got to pick up more wins. And as you said, Caldwell historically has beaten them pretty well, as has Murray and Mayfield.
From a Fort Campbell perspective, though, we have to remember they missed a season. You know, when everyone else got to play part of a season with COVID, the DODEA did not allow Fort Campbell to play at all. So they actually missed a season, which really hurt their program. I would actually be in favor of the KHSAA making a special exemption for Fort Campbell and letting them play in Class 1A. For one thing, they haven't been typically competitive over the last few years in 2A. Plus, it actually helps the 1A alignment because if you look at 1A right now in the First District, there's only really three teams that make sense. You're looking at Ballard, Fulton County, and Russellville. And I think the next team over would be Caverna, which is way over more toward the central portion of the state. However, if you drop Fort Campbell into that 1A district, well, to me that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Now, Crittenden wanted to play up, but how close were they to being allowed to go down if enough teams wanted to go up? I don't know where they were on the line. So I don't know if that's an option for them if multiple teams wish to go out of 1A if they could fall into 1A. Yeah. But I'm sure that they already figured that out or they wouldn't have applied as they did.
Well, and again,
are both the Fultons playing?
No, Fulton City is no longer playing football. Okay. So, but if you look at Fulton County, And this is kind of, I think, why Fulton City dropped football. They were finishing third or fourth in their district every year. And because Class A is so spread out, well, if you're the number three seed or the number four seed in that first district, a lot of times you're going to Louisville for a first-round playoff game.
Those are not very practical trips, both from a logistical standpoint or a financial standpoint. And I believe in the COVID year, there were schools that were just saying, purely on money, I got it out, I'm not going. So this could be a situation where their proximity to the playoffs could be one of the reasons they just decided to disband it.
Yeah. I mean, typically you don't get permission to play down, but to me, doing that for Fort Campbell would make a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's just, you know, they've been in a special situation. I mean, if you take a year away from anybody's program, they're going to struggle, no matter what kind of success they had or did not have prior to that.
Very true.
Yeah. Well, and if you're talking about Caldwell County in Class 2A, I think Caldwell County likes the rivalry with Mayfield. I think the general thought is that if you're good enough to beat Mayfield, you're good enough to go out and win the state. And if you're not good enough to beat a Mayfield, you're not going to get very far in the playoffs anyway. So I think Caldwell is content with staying in Class 2A. There was some outside talk maybe about Caldwell County considering 3A, but the coaches and the school, I don't think, have any interest in looking into that route. I think they're fine in Class 2A. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that 2A district ends up finishing up, because, like we say, Ballard Memorial is going to be gone. Fort Campbell and Crittenden County, we don't really know about. I think we're pretty sure with Mayfield and Murray. And, Chris, we've had some really good games with those teams over the years. It's just that Mayfield game seems to be a block for a lot of people.
Well, you know, Mayfield is just the standard bearer in Western Kentucky. You know, it is what it is. They, year in and year out, they compete. Year in and year out, they're competing at the highest level, probably one of the top 15 teams, no matter the class, in the state. And you know what you said, Todd, is if you're good enough to compete and beat them, that means you're quality. But at the same time, it's a double-edged sword. You get a couple of breaks if you're in another class, and maybe you don't have to deal with them. And Murray's just a thorn in our side, but we're a thorn in their side. It's a good rivalry of Murray.
Well, and in 2A, Gary, typically, if you finish first or second, you're getting a team from the second district that you typically can handle a little bit. Where if you go up a class, you might finish first or second in your district, but the other district has some really strong teams, and so you can get an easier district maybe by moving up, but you don't necessarily get an easier playoff path.
There is one factor other than Mayfield to consider in 2A, and that's Owensboro Catholic. Owensboro Catholic did drop a little bit for the past couple of years. However, we were not able to capitalize on that. This is because the third round RPI takes over, and you are not guaranteed. Let's say, for sake of argument, Caldwell and Mayfield have years where they're better than everybody else in that district. Well, if that were the case, then they'd be the last two standing down here, but they wouldn't be forced to play each other in round three, because the four westernmost teams would be seeded by RPI, and it's possible that you would actually avoid Mayfield. In fact, I believe one of the state championship games this year was two teams from the same district, because the way the RPI works from third round on, you could be bracketed opposite. So I think the school may be thinking, look, if we can get anywhere near Mayfield and pass OCATH, then we may never even see Mayfield for quite some time. So it really is not just Mayfield you have to consider. It's can you beat anybody in that second district?
Typically this time of year, we would be talking about the schedule for next year and what's coming up. But until they get the realignment plan situated, it's going to be difficult for coaches and ADs to sit down and hammer out a schedule, because those district games typically have to go in certain dates. So if Crittenden County were to become a district opponent, you know, you might have to redo that game. You're going to have to look at some other things. Christian County is going to go to 6A in anticipation of the consolidation over there. So do you want Christian County still on the schedule? Do you want Hopkinsville for a one-year deal and then have to find somebody else for 1 year to finish out the two-year contract? You know, typically the schedules are set on 2 years, so a lot to consider if you're trying to put a schedule together right now. I mean, you can't really get too far along.
If you wanted Hoptown, about the only way you can do it that I would see is you'd have to have some bowl game as a one-year one-off that would be early in the season to counteract it. But other than that, or going out of state, I see taking the Hoptown game, if we're assuming that that's the one that disappears from the schedule, as a big hole in your schedule that's going to be very hard to fill.
Yeah, and Chris, we've talked about this before. It's getting more difficult to find teams close by to play because it seems like there's been a lot of consolidation and there aren't as many schools. But I don't think Kaawah County or Kaawah County fans want to make another trip to Greene County like we had to, you know, what was it, 7, 8, 9 years ago to get a game in.
I want to go to Greene County.
Well, there's always that side trip, you know, the side trip to Campbellsville and Druthers.
Correct. I'm here for it. But you're right, Todd. I think it's getting tough. But you've got to factor in with Christian County. You know they're going to be a super school.
Yeah.
In a couple of years, and if you get them on the schedule, are you ever really going to be able to get them off? And I don't know if you want to deal with that.
I think there's some schools that we just haven't played in a while that are really some logical opponents. I think Marshall County is a logical opponent. I think Russellville is a logical opponent. I think there's some – I think Webster is not – if we stay in two, I don't think Webster's off the table. I think there's some teams we can get. We just have to look at what we have and what makes sense for us. And we've been looking – outward a lot, but I think maybe if we look inward, there's some opportunities, but they have to want to play us too. And one of the things that's hurt us is our success. We've had schools that are, you know, 6A and won't play us. Well, you can't make them play you, so you're going to have to figure out what works both ways.
I think Russellville would be a great game. Yeah. It's not a hard drive, just a quick drive up 6880, a little over an hour. Historic stadium, good quality program that competes year in and year out. I think that'd be a great game. Marshall County is another one. Easy drive would be a good gate for them. I think they would return a good gate to us on the home when it's their turn to come to Tiger Stadium. Two quality opponents that I think would be great on our schedule that I would look forward to, not to mention the Russellville game would be the shortest trip of the year. So. Yeah. Selfishly.
Well, and Hopkins County Central would also fit in pretty good with the Tiger schedule because, I mean, Hopkins County Central is a district opponent, Gary, in just about every other sport we play.
Yeah, I think that's a team that we should look into as well. But like I said, it's a matter of who wants to play us. That's really what it amounts to. And the scheduling, one thing we're going to have to consider is if you end up in a five-team district, then one of your weeks is off during the district play, and you're going to have very limited partners. You either take your bye that week, as we've been doing. We take a bye the very last week of district play, or you're going to have to figure out a partner, and you'll have limited partners because you'll have to find somebody who's not playing a district game.
So what we know as far as the district goes right now, Mayfield and Murray are still going to be there. We think maybe Fort Campbell and Crittenden County, but you know anybody can request a play up. Chris, that doesn't necessarily mean the KHSAA is going to approve the request to play up.
Right, and I think you know you really got to. I hope they make them make a valuable argument and a viable argument as to why you want to play up. Because even though I sit here and say play up to get away from Mayfield,
yeah.
Not a viable argument. I'm just trying to get away from Mayfield.
I think Crittenden has a very good argument because of the Junior Pro League. I think they could use that argument very well, that these are their natural rivalries from third grade and their proximity. They're very close to Union. They're very close to Hopkins Central and Webster comparatively to Fort Campbell and Murray. So I think they've got a good argument, honestly.
I'm just happy for Ballard. Ballard getting to go down. You know, we've watched that program struggle when they've been in the district with us and take a lot of tail kickings that I think they can actually compete in 1A. And, you know, every time we went over there, they even though they struggle, they still seem to bring out fans and seem to have a lot of pride. So I'm happy for Ballard.
Well, we talked about that Fort Campbell loses a lot of their athletes to Clarksville. Ballard loses a lot of their athletes to McCracken. So they're definitely in the same boat, not exactly the same circumstances, but Ballard gets picked over, and they don't always get to have everybody that they grew up with.
Another month from now, maybe we can come back together, and once we know what the alignment's going to look like, we can have this discussion all over again, and I'm sure there'll be some surprises in there. There always is, and several schools bouncing around. Marshall County goes from 6A to 5A, I believe, and like I said, Christian County is going to go up to 6A, so some interesting discussion to be had there. We'll just have to wait till that realignment proposal comes out and take a look at it again.
It's good to know that Caldwell has an informal scheduling committee already formed here to help out. Yeah. So we're here to serve.
We've never been short on opinions about anything.
We need to get to a break on the show. Chris George and Gary Goodacre in the studio with us this morning. Back with more on the Sideline Report after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Brantley Furniture, family owned and located in the heart of downtown Princeton. Jeannie and Megan invite you to come in and check out their selection of furniture, bedding, and gifts. Financing is available.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. We have a 30% chance of showers late this afternoon. Cloudy skies, high of 58. South winds could be as high as 15 to 30 miles an hour. Then tonight, that chance of showers continues and escalates. Possibly a thunderstorm after midnight, low around 51. That chance of precipitation is 80%. And then Friday, showers are certainly expected. South winds will be as high as 20 miles an hour. That chance of precipitation is 90%, high of 56. But back to this afternoon, slight chance of showers, cloudy skies, high of 58.
Life is filled with moments. Moments we share with those we love, worry about, and strive to protect the most. At Woodman Life, we provide life insurance and retirement products to help protect you and your family so that you can enjoy all the moments to come.
This is Josh Ray, your local Woodman Life agent. Come see us at 1009 West Main Street or give us a call at 365-6111.
Certain eligibility and age restrictions apply. Woodman of the World Life Insurance Society, Omaha, Nebraska.
Fredonia Valley Bank is proud of our area senior athletes and is celebrating their accomplishments. They're sharing special senior stories featuring the class of 23 in a senior spotlight. Follow yoursportsedge.com or download the app and listen for updates on 103.3 WPKY. As Fredonia Valley Bank gives our senior athletes a special moment to shine.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Caldwell County Wrestling in action today at the Woodford County Invitational in Versailles. The Tigers going 3-2 in dual action yesterday. It is an individual format today in the two-day event at Woodford County, so good luck to the Tiger wrestlers there. Also, Lady Tiger basketball in action today. Two games in the Murray Lady Tiger Christmas Classic at Murray High School today. First game at 12:30 against Paducah Tillman, and then a little bit later on, Caldwell County will play Murray High School. And guys, an interesting situation in the Murray tournament. It was supposed to be an eight-team field. A team dropped out. So Murray decided they'll just play in both the championship and the consolation bracket. So typically this week, you'd see Murray go one way or the other, but now they're playing in both. So, Gary, they could actually finish first and fifth in their own tournament.
Well, Murray figures out how to do things very cleverly. But honestly, this was to the betterment of everybody because it gave everyone three games. Yes. They'll get four no matter how it slices out. But with the weather, they probably lost one anyway. And you always over schedule for all A since they're an all A school. I'm sure they can fit it in their schedule. And I commend them for being creative and willing to do that.
Well, and
find somebody last minute.
and talking of basketball, nobody knows how much it pained me last week to have to say that the West Kentucky Hoops Classic was canceled. We did get in three games and one quarter of another one. But the weather would just not cooperate. And, you know, I know how much hard work everybody puts into lining up that thing. And, Chris, I told everybody that I think I jinxed it because I spoke for so long about how that was the best field they had and how great it was going to be. And I think I just said that one too many times and the weather got us.
Well, you know, Mother Nature had other plans. And when you bring in those quality out-of-state schools, you know, a little bit blip in the weather. I mean, you look at the schools trying to get south to Florida that had to spend hours at Nashville Airport.
Yeah.
It just gets tough.
I just hate it for the teams that actually made the trip here, you know, showed up in good faith, ready to play, and we just couldn't get the games played because of the weather. But, you know, East St. Louis showed up for the first time ever in Princeton. They got to play a quarter. So it's kind of tough.
But I think that they were understanding, and I don't think it's going to dampen the enthusiasm for the 2023 Hoops Classic. And if a school doesn't want to come for that, I'm pretty sure Torrey can find a replacement.
Oh, yeah. Well, and most of those schools were understanding. I didn't hear anybody complain about it. Those schools travel a lot, and weather happens. I mean, you just, you know, first time we'd ever had that issue with the West Kentucky Hoops Classic, and hopefully we never, ever have it again. So,
but the last completed game, another double overtime. So
yeah.
I will say this. I know Torrey has the input in those matchups, and I'm sure gets help as well, but he's usually spot on like. He gets them to play teams of equal quality, and the games are usually fantastic.
Yeah. Moving on, we did promise everybody a top five. Once again, it's top five sports venues you would have liked to have seen a game at, and we're going to let Gary go first with his top five.
Well, you may hear some of these again, but I'm pretty sure my five, I don't think either Chris or Todd's going to have. Now, you said game, so I interpreted it as sporting event.
Yes. That's the way I went, too.
I'm going back millennia. Circus Maximus in Rome. I want to see chariot races. Legit chariot races. I want to go back in time and just experience a culture so different from ours. I want to see what it took to have a Colosseum-like environment. And I want to go all Ben-Hur on us here, and I want to see that. So that's something I do. Since we can go back in time, let's just get in the time machine and go way back.
All right.
All the others are more typical. Number four would be the old Yankee Stadium because of the history. You're going from Babe Ruth all the way to Derek Jeter and all the Hall of Famers in between. The history, think of the opponents you'd see. I would have loved to have known that was truly the house Ruth built. Number three is the old Boston Garden. The thought of seeing Havlicek and Bill Russell, Larry Bird, you know, all of those classic teams, the heat, how it didn't have the air conditioning, the sweat, those Laker games in the 80s in the finals. How could you not want to see a game on that parquet? Number two, Texas Stadium, the legitimate one that we all saw as kids. When Dallas came on and the hole in the roof so God can watch his favorite team, you could see Roger Staubach. I'd love to have seen him play. I'd have loved to have seen Tony Dorsett. And then, of course, even the triplets that we had when they won the three championships. And number one, what may surprise you, but I'm going to go a little more local here. I wanted to see a game in Stoll Field.
Yeah.
With the old UK, where Bear Bryant was coaching. I'd like to see the Bear when he was there. We had some players in the 60s from Caldwell. And, of course, what game would I have wanted to see in Stoll Field more than a UK game even? The 1963 championship was held at Stoll Field. So I would have loved to have seen and experienced that environment.
That is an interesting list.
Yeah, pretty good top five there.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, let's move right along, and let's hear what you came up with.
Well, you know, I never can play by rules, so my top five, I always have to have a couple of honorable mention.
Yep.
And I went honorable mention. Todd will appreciate this more than Gary. Mid-South Coliseum. I mean, what would have been great to see old school Memphis Championship Wrestling
Saturday. I need to change my top five.
That would be awesome. You know, I'm a baseball stadiums guy, and one stadium there's a lot of great ones, but it's just something about old Tiger Stadium with that double deck in
the
outfield, the overhang. I would have loved to just, you know, when you see pictures of it, I was like, I hate I missed that one. And then another honorable mention I had was Texas Stadium. Like you said, God's favorite football team, and, you know, it's just something special about that. But number five. The Miami Orange Bowl, the original.
Wow.
I mean, see the Canes in the 80s, Miami Hurricanes. It had to be something special to be in that place to watch them. Number four, the Lakers at the Great Western Forum. You had the Boston Garden, I had the Forum. Mm. And I've driven by the Forum many times, and I'm like, I hate that I never got to go to a game in there. Because the Forum was an experience. It wasn't just, I mean, after the game, it turns into a nightclub. Come on. Number three, as a Steelers guy, I would have loved to went to Three River Stadium to see all the Steeler grades and to hear old school Steeler fans talk about how special Three Rivers.
Yeah.
I hate that that's somewhere I never got to go, which leads me into number two, Fulton County Stadium. I mean, the parking lot of Turner Field was old Fulton County Stadium. The fence, the piece of the fence where Hank's home run went over, it was still there. I think it hopefully is still there. And, you know, it would just been awesome to take in a game there as a baseball guy. And number one for me, the Houston Astrodome.
Wow.
I mean, you know, a sports venue that is that becomes a pop culture icon. Well, how can you not want to be in the Astrodome?
Are you talking when they still tried to have actual grass in there or later on when?
Well, AstroTurf, come on.
Because, you know, that they actually tried to grow grass in there. And then you couldn't see, you know, fly balls because of the windows up top. So they had to paint the windows and then the grass died. So that was where AstroTurf came from.
It's sad to see the state the Astrodome is. It still stands and is just turned to junk. And you take the city of Houston can't get their act together and do something with it.
They say it was cost prohibitive, so they're just going to
Leave it there.
That's sad.
The eighth wonder of the world, the Astrodome.
A lot of those would have been on my honorable mention, but I play by the rules.
I never play by the rules.
All right. Well, it's Chris's topic, so, I mean, it's kind of his rules, I guess.
So
but I said five.
So five equals seven. Okay. Five equals eight. Good to know.
I think if I was going to have an honorable mention, aside from the Mid-South Coliseum, it might be Lambeau Field, which didn't make my list, but I certainly considered it. Although, Gary, at number five, I did have the Colosseum in Rome. So I was kind of thinking along the same lines that how cool would that be back in the day, you know, to see it in its glory and whatever's going on in there at that point, you know, the chariot races or whatever. That would be awesome.
I don't know if I'd like to see the lions eating people, though. Okay, that may be a little more than I can handle. But hey, you know, you do you.
I'm thinking more of the Ben-Hur kind of thing, you know. Okay, my number four is St. Andrew's Golf Course. I thought I would try to sneak that one in. It's a sports venue, so I would really, you know, the home of golf. So
yeah, that's a sports venue.
Okay, my number three is going to be Sportsman's Park in St. Louis for obvious reasons. And it hosted every game of the 1944 World Series. I believe the Browns actually owned Sportsman's Park and that the Cardinals were tenants there. So, you know, looking back, you might think it was the other way around, but I believe the Browns actually built Sportsman's Park. Number two for me is Ebbets Field, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Mm. I mean, how do you get any more historical baseball than that? Well, except for my number one, and anybody that listens to this show probably has already jumped ahead, but it's the Polo Grounds in New York. That if I could go to one place and see one ball game, it's the Polo Grounds just because of the uniqueness, and you're just down the road from Yankee Stadium. I mean, what kind of history do you have with the Polo Grounds? I think the Yankees played there for a little while. The Giants played there. The Mets played there. I think it actually burned down a couple of times. I think there was actually a Polo Grounds 2 and a Polo Grounds 3. But for some reason, they kept building it back in goofy shapes. So, it's, you know, you had the short porches down both sides. The bullpens were actually in play in the outfield. You know, I mean,
I saw a picture on Twitter. Somebody had showed an aerial of the Polo Grounds. And I was thinking, how do you play the corner outfield? Yeah. I mean, you know, what do you do?
And what kind of center fielder do you have to have that can run all that down, have that kind of an arm?
Willie Mays.
Okay, yeah. Well, how many Willie Mayses have there been? So let's go with that.
That's where the catch was made. That was Willie Mays' catch in the outfield at the Polo Grounds. So,
Shallow or do you play deep in center?
Well, it has to stink if you're a pitcher and you think you made a great pitch and a guy hits it out 250 feet down the line. I mean, it's just – I realized that there was a wall there and it was high, but it's still a fairly cheap home run, especially for a major league hitter. So, but I don't know. For some reason, that never seemed to be an issue back in the day. We complain about all the nooks and crannies today, but back in the day, they just played that way. You know, Forbes Field had light fixtures in the outfield that were in play. I mean, every stadium just had its kind of quirks, and everybody was just happy with it because I guess everybody was just happy to be playing a game at that point in time, and the little things didn't bother them.
I think that's what's important about those old stadiums. They all had character.
Yes.
And I think some of the newer stadiums, especially when they went through those 80s, 90s built stadiums.
The cookie cutters.
They didn't have any character. And that's why things like Camden Yards, my favorite ballpark, they went back to giving the ballparks character. Yeah. AT&T, PNC, they have character.
Of course, they had to just wedge them wherever they could get them.
Yes.
And sometimes the lay of the architecture or the lay of the city and the roads just made them have to be of certain dimensions.
Well, yeah. And you went through that whole multi-use, can we play football and baseball in the same stadium? And in the 70s, 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're back to giving the various parks a little bit of character.
Yeah, there's no MLB park now that is currently a tenant of an NFL team. Is that correct? Because now that Oakland left, they left to Las Vegas. So,
but we all grew up watching football games played on the
Cincinnati
the dirt infields.
Yeah, Cincinnati,
for the first four or 5 weeks until baseball season got over.
Right.
And trust me, the Oakland Coliseum, a junkyard or a dump, would be ashamed to say it was the Oakland Coliseum was compared to it.
Dumps get offended.
Yes, but I would be offended if I was a dump.
But I would still say the Raiders should never have left Oakland. Not the first time, not the second time. The Raiders should be the Oakland Raiders, and I'm tired of teams moving. You know, the Indianapolis Colts still seems wrong to me, and how long ago was that? 40 years?
40 years, 83, I think.
So it still seems wrong. I always think Baltimore Colts when I hear that, but...
It is definitely a new world, and money talks, and moving is just now part of the opportunity to monetize your brand.
Yeah. So those were our top fives. Hope everybody enjoyed that. We need to get to another timeout here on the Sideline Report. Chris George, Gary Goodacre in the studio with us this morning. We're back with more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Melissa Wynn, Realtor at Keller Williams Experience Realty, would love to help you with your purchase of a home or help you with listing your property. Call Melissa Wynn at 270-601-1793.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, a 30% chance of showers late this afternoon, cloudy skies, high of 58. South winds could be as high as 15 to 30 miles an hour. Then tonight, an 80% chance of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm after midnight, low around 51. Friday, showers are almost expected, high of 56. South winds will be as high as 20 miles an hour. And then Friday night, another high chance for showers, thunderstorms possible after midnight, low around 46. But back to you this afternoon, slight chance of showers, cloudy skies and 58.
Need cash fast? Contact ABC Finance now.
The hustle and bustle of the holiday season is stressful enough without adding financial worry to the list.
At ABC Finance, we want you to enjoy this time of year and offer a deferred payment program on the holiday season.
Hi, this is Savannah Seymour at the Princeton ABC Finance location.
And this is Todd Morris at the Hobsville location.
Make this season the best ever with the help of ABC Finance.
At ABC Finance, we provide loans up to $15,000. Decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour.
Our commitment is to make the loan process quick, easy, and stress-free. We can even consolidate all loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed. Walk-ins are welcome.
You can even give us a call, and we will take your application over the phone.
Or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
For more information and for great money and credit tips, like ABC Finance on Facebook. Happy holidays!
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio with us on our final show of 2022. And I don't want the guys to get away before I do mention the sad moment last week when we lost Franco Harris. Chris is wearing his Steelers shirt today. Nothing was more touching if you're a Steeler fan than to sit there and watch them retire number 32, knowing that number 32 wasn't there to enjoy all that.
Right. The anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, they had big plans. Franco didn't make it, unfortunately. But yeah, it was a, you know, Franco, that's Steeler football right there. Running the football, tough, hard-nosed. One of the greatest plays in NFL history. Some people think it was an incomplete pass or a penalty, but
hey. Well, it shows you how long ago it was that we don't have definitive proof in video if he caught it, who touched it. Frenchie Fuqua is the only person that knows whether or not he touched that football, which back then would have made it an incomplete pass because only the first receiver touching the ball could make the catch. So, and, you know, Franco never really said for sure if he thought the ball touched the ground or not. So, and there's only a couple of video angles out there, and you can't tell on either one. To me, that's what makes it such an intriguing play and such a memorable play. I think if we had that video proof, and today we would have 100,000 angles because everybody in the stands would have their phone out recording it. But the fact that we don't know just adds to the legacy of it.
Well, and those officials made a business decision that day. They were not getting out of there if they call that an incomplete pass.
There were people on the field.
Right.
They'd already come out of the stands. Yeah.
They made a business decision, and I'm not mad at them.
Well, John Madden always said that one of the officials called up top to get help with the call and came back and said touchdown. So he never knew what was said between that guy and the referee claims he didn't do it. So for Oakland fans, it's probably a painful memory. But to me, that's one of my favorite plays ever. I mean, Gary, it's right there with the Stanford band being on the field.
So which film has been dissected more in history? That film of the Immaculate Reception or the Zapruder film for the JFK assassination?
They have both been gone through frame by frame.
Yes. So, I mean, you could really decide which one of those 10-year period was analyzed more. This is how much in lore the Immaculate Reception is. But at least Franco knew it was coming.
Yeah.
At least he got to do a lot of the interviews. At least he knew his number was going to be retired and the ceremony was going to happen. So at least he got that.
And both are various, very big conspiracy among the conspiracy theory crowd of what really happened. Who killed JFK? Did Franco catch it?
Well,
the world may never know.
The Oakland Raiders are convinced that they won that ball game, and you know they're never going to give it up. So before we get out of here today, though, I do want to bring up UK sports. We got a doubleheader on Saturday. UK basketball playing Louisville, and probably the least build-up to that game in the history of that game because both teams aren't very good, and the UK football team playing a ball game. So, Chris?
Something else is going on besides a football game Saturday? Who knew?
I knew that's what Chris would say. Gary?
Well, I'm happy that Kentucky is going to go to the Music City Bowl, given the bowl practices for these young players, the ones that are not opting out or not able to play due to injury. So I'm hoping that we get a good look at some of these running backs and linemen. Of course, our quarterback of the future isn't there because he will be coming after the semester ends. But in the end, it's an opportunity for some guys to get up the depth chart and for some coaches to show what they can do calling plays. I think it's just going to be a good experience for everybody for the Iowa matchup.
It could be first one to 17. 17. I don't think there's going to be – I think I would take the under on 17. I'm thinking it's going to be – I've been telling Joey Randolph it's going to be 3-2.
Wow. Well, weren't bowl games initially supposed to be just for fun, though? It was like a reward for a good season, and you came and you threw some trick plays out there, and you had a good time, and you got to tour the city you were out, and they got to give you some stuff, and you got some free stuff, some swag to take back with you, and you just had a good time. And I think it's more of a recent thing that everybody gets wound up with. Oh, we've got to finish our season with 9 wins instead of 8. And
well, I think Stoops' contract says, I think it's serious to him.
He got some money on the line.
I'll give you that.
I think our trick play is going to be a 10-yard out. That would surprise everybody.
Yeah, if they throw the ball down the field, it'll probably surprise everybody. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. And Kentucky fans in a bit of a quandary if, you know, you're going to watch football, going to watch basketball, get a couple of TVs or your laptop. And but really getting back to UK basketball for just a minute because we've only got a couple of minutes. But really, has there ever been less build-up to a UK-Louisville basketball game than this year's? I don't think the Louisville fans are really looking forward to it. Don't feel like the UK fans are really on board right now with anything. So
I think it's going to be interesting Saturday. Like I said, first off, I'll say again, there's something going on besides a football game. But who knew? In all seriousness, I think it's Louisville's going to be able to come out and play free because they've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And I think even though Kentucky's played some big games and, you know, notable opponents this year, they've got everything to lose because if you come out and don't have a good showing Saturday, your season is headed in the toilet if it's not already in the toilet.
And I believe we play LSU after Louisville, I think on Tuesday, January 3rd. I watched the second half of them playing Arkansas. LSU will get after you, and they've got some guards that will go to the – they play physical. That LSU-Arkansas game was just nasty tough. If we don't play tough, LSU can – they can play with us, no doubt. I just find it interesting, UK, we talk about conspiracy theories. I don't know UK's identity.
They don't have one.
I cannot figure out what offense they're trying to run. I almost think we should do two things. Let Wheeler go to the rack. Either he hits it or he misses it and Oscar rebounds it. Or we just jack up threes, we miss them, and Oscar rebounds them. I think that's our offense. Just we Todd and I, we went to see Providence, remember? And they just jacked up shots and tried to rebound.
Yeah.
I think that's the best offense UK can run right now.
Well, the bad thing if you're UK, though, besides just struggling in general, you have no signature win at this point in the season. And if you beat Louisville, you still don't have a signature win. So, danged if you do and danged if you don't. So, yep.
This team is profiling. If the SEC is what we think it is, then it's profiling to be about, now, what do they play, 18 SEC games now? Yeah. I mean, 10-8. They really do look like a 10-8, 11-7 type of team. Because there's some teams that are weaker than Kentucky, of course, but there's some really good teams. And if they go 11-7 in SEC with no signature wins, I mean, they're going to the SEC tournament on the bubble. This is not unrealistic.
No, I think you're absolutely right that this is a bubble team, and I don't understand. They seem to have no concept of what they want to do offensively. I watched the first half last night, and I've seen middle school basketball teams that I felt were more organized in the half court. And I believe he just needs to go out and script his plays and say the first 5 minutes of the game, which seems to be their biggest problem, these are the plays we're running, and if you break it off, you're coming out.
Interesting times if you're a UK fan. Football, though, in the bowl game and basketball.
Great recruiting class.
Yeah. Yeah, things are looking up for UK football. As a matter of fact, I saw a stat last night that said the last 71 games, UK football has a better record than UK basketball by one game. Who would ever have thought that?
That is remarkable. And this is a UK team that has not won an NCAA tournament game since we had a pandemic.
Oh, well.
Hasn't been to a Final Four since 2015.
15, right.
So,
you know, but people throw that out. That tournament that got canceled, they
would have been in it and would have probably won a game.
They were going to go on a run with that team. That team was gelling.
They were.
For a run. They really were.
Yeah.
All right. It looks like we're about out of time, guys. I appreciate you coming in. And like I said, once we get those high school realignments for football, we'll come in and talk about those and dissect all those things and see where everybody's going to play. Be interesting to see how things shake out in the end. But appreciate you guys coming in. Chris, Gary, appreciate it. And happy holidays, and thanks for helping me finish up 2022.
Happy New Year to you.
Always love to be here. I was just glad it was an off day, and I could make the trip and be in the studio with you guys.
That's Chris George and Gary Goodacre. Once again, thanks to them for coming in and spending the hour on the Sideline Report this morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580-103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.